2020. This week, Donald Trump has officially kicked off his 2020 election campaign. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Catch us each week wherever you get your podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Donald Trump has, in Orlando this week, officially relaunched his 2020 campaign bid. Much to say on this, Ed. Trump has never really left campaign mode. It's obvious it's where he's happiest in the role, and it seems to be the same old bag of tricks.
The same old thing, except nobody's wearing a brown shirt yet. Maybe they're wearing the red shirts. But really, this is to his base, for his base, and his base is his campaign. Now, that base is important. Don't get me wrong. But the Democrats have to be very careful here because their base is complacent. They don't have somebody to rally around. They don't have impeachment to rally around. And it seems that they've forgotten their agenda, health care, etc. And Trump's winning on another front, and that is on trade. His threats seem to be working. So Trump can say, I would have done all the things, including the wall, if the Democrats hadn't stopped it. So his program is as is, as was, and as will be. I don't think we're going to see any changes in that very soon.
Looking at the news of the week, Sarah Sanders, White House press secretary, the princess of lies, is on her way out. Big, shameless boots to fill for whoever comes next.
Well, I don't know if anybody will come next. The president seems very comfortable with being his own spokesperson. Why does he want anybody? Sarah Sanders hasn't been on for 95 days. And there's only about 95 days till the next election. Why does he need anyone? So if anyone fills this, it's going to be a lower level than Sarah Sanders. And I think they'll have left to say, because this is campaign mode. It's not answering questions about current policy or future policy. This is nothing more than campaign time. And who better to campaign than the president himself?
Other big news this week, two shipping tankers attacked in the Gulf of Oman. The U.S. has accused Iran of the attacks, which a few countries were a little bit skeptical of and which Iran denied. However, independent analysis seems to bear the U.S. out. Where does this go next?
Well, I'm not sure. When you say Iran, does that mean the actual Iranian army or navy or whatever? The Iranians would be absolutely stupid to attack an American vessel. So if they did it, I think it's either a categorical mistake or major stupidity on their part. Where it leaves us is the threat. Now, the threat works out in two ways now. The Iranians are threatening to increase their nuclear capacity. And this could be just the shot over the bow to get everyone's attention. Who knows? Nonetheless, Iran is back in the news, and they are saying, well, we didn't do this, but we may do other things. And so Europeans, you better come and ease our trade sanctions, or we will do other things. So the United States is forcing Iran into the same posture as North Korea. And that's bad for everybody. Trump says he can make a deal with them. But how do you make a deal with people you've been swearing at, you withdrew from a treaty with? You got no basis for a deal. Let's hope the worst doesn't come the worse.
And just in a similar vein, I suppose you might say, breaking today, MH17, three Russians and one Ukrainian facing murder charges for the deaths of the 298 passengers and crew, including 38 Australians on, the infamous, the tragic flight MH17, being accused of shooting it down, of course. What do you make of this, Ed?
Well, let's step back a little bit. The reason MH17 was shot down, it was traveling over Russian airspace. The Russians, after many years, allowed planes to travel over their airspace to collect the money. So the Russians and the Ukrainians were collecting money on this flight. the Ukrainian semi-warfare, which got the Russian third string military involved, started shooting at everything. The Russians here are culpable because they allowed it to happen. So why go after these three guys when the head guy in the Kremlin is the one who should be gone after with heavy sanctions and with the world pointing their finger at him? Nothing's going to happen to these guys in the surface. But if I wouldn't want to be them, and I would not walk home at night if I were one of them, because the Russians have a habit of getting rid of embarrassing people.
And just relating back to staff, but still in this kind of vein, Patrick Shanahan, he's been the acting defense secretary, but has withdrawn a more permanent bid that, has that always noble political reason to spend more time with family. Where does this leave defense?
Well, that means he's spending time outside the Trump family. It leaves defense probably in a predicament because Shanahan was at least a foil between Trump and the military. And he, like everyone else, gets tired of this. Two other secretaries of defense have gotten tired of it, and why wouldn't he? So I think between now and the campaign, we're not going to see anything but departures. And the other departures I would anticipate are the HUD secretary and the Secretary of Education. They're there just by the skin of their teeth. They got to find new jobs before this campaign starts because they're surely not being an asset to the campaign. Both of them are in deep, deep bad water. And I wouldn't be surprised if Mnuchin, the Secretary of Treasury, took a walk as well, because he's got to make money now. He can't wait, and he's certainly not going to be around for another term.
I admit, though, this got me thinking on appointments, which I hadn't in a while. We knew Trump's administration was missing a lot of people from key roles, but like so many other things in the Trump era, it became the norm and we just forgot about it. So just to name a few, here are some of the current vacancies with only acting leaders. The Department of Homeland Security, the UN ambassador, the FEMA director, acting chief of staff, acting ICE director. There are more, Ed. How does this administration still have so many vacancies we just forgot about?
Well, it's not so much we forgot about them, it's just nobody wants the job. And let's be clear about that. Nobody wants these jobs. No one wants to be tainted by this administration. How are you going to find a job in the future? Unless you're ready for retirement, as the Attorney General was, and just wanted that certificate on his wall, nobody really wants these jobs because you're undermined at every turn. You're not really in charge. And Mr. Trump runs everything. So I think we're going to see even more departures very soon.
Some good news for Trump. The Senate has reached a deal on $4.5 billion in funding for action on the U.S.-Mexico border, $3.3 billion for humanitarian aid, which means shelters, care for unaccompanied minors, in addition to processing arrivals, and a bit over $1.1 billion for other border operations. What's your thought on this one, Ed?
Well, $1 billion isn't what Trump wanted for his wall. And the only thing this bill is to repair the existing wall. It's not to expand or enhance. It sounds very much what the Democrats were offering. But Trump will take credit for it if he can. I don't think there's anything to this. This is less than a day story. It will not last very long. Trump's on the campaign trail against almost all immigration. If you look at the bill he put up, it's only for immigration for people who are highly skilled and in northern countries. So, black man, stay away.
And we've also seen claims from Trump of a blitz roundup of migrants about to take place, rounding up those already on U.S. soil. Presumably, Trump stopped just short of calling it a blitzkrieg roundup for the associations there. Is this worth worrying about, or just more Twitter talk from Trump that ultimately serves just as a distraction?
Well, think of where this blitz roundup would most likely be. It'd most likely be in the Midwest, where you have these big packing houses, and it's easy to round up the people there because they go to jobs where they're 10, 15 to 1,000 people in one building. And to crack down on them just takes a few buses and a couple of deputy sheriffs. Now, what happens when that beef can't go to China or come to Australia? That's another trade problem for Trump. You're not going to round up anybody in Los Angeles or New York because they're scattered to the winds and they're one or two of them on a job or a job site. Maybe you get a few people in Arizona. But the expenditure of money to do this isn't worth the effort. And it could be a very big backfire. I hope he starts in Iowa, where the campaign starts, and then he can lose some votes there.
And just before we get off this, when is a concentration camp not a concentration camp? Ocasio-Cortez taking fire this week for saying America is keeping illegal migrants in concentration camps and drawing comparisons to Japanese Americans in World War II. Not backing down, which I would have to say I respect. Conservatives would rather talk about her wording than, the kids in cages, Ed.
Well, thank God she's doing it. Sometimes you have a hard time with her words, but she's calling people out. And many other people are afraid to do that. So good on you, OC. You are doing a great job. Keep at it. And while you're doing that, the Trump people have to run for cover because they've got nothing to say. They look like concentration camps to me, except they don't have the places, the ovens, but they certainly look an awful like that. And the Japanese comparison is a damn good one.
And in Phoenix, police being criticized after they drew guns on a black family, screaming, swearing, allegedly threatening to shoot one of them in the face because a four-year-old girl had shoplifted a toy doll from a dollar store. Now, without a video of the incident, I suspect this would have never made much in the way of news, but thanks to the video, has blown up into yet another conversation about police going after black Americans.
No news. This is no news. It doesn't matter if it's Phoenix or Atlanta or wherever. This isn't the news. The news would be if policemen came to the aid of a black person. Mm-hmm. That would be news. But this isn't news. It's horrible. I think the chief of police said, I believe it was a she in this case, is going to crack down on it. What's she going to do? Reprimand these guys, get the police union angry, and we're still back at it. The next time, though, it'll be Mexican Americans, and they will not be so kind to the police officers.
And just before we move on, you take race out of the equation, which I don't think you can, but let's probably pretend. You take race out of the equation, take kids out of the equation. There is not a doubt in the world these cops are escalating the situation almost out of control, not de-escalating. It comes back, again, as we've spoken about before, the military us versus them mindset that now seems to be a part of American policing against really all its civilians.
It is. This started about 20 years ago when the police started going to Quantico for training, and they were trained in the same tactics used in Afghanistan. So they're using those tactics. That's what they know. So they're an occupation force. Blacks have been calling this out for two decades, and very little has changed. I think the change has to start at the top. That means there has to be a new director of the FBI, a new director of all the agencies, Interior, etc., to deal with this, and start sending the cops to human relations school, not beat them up, shoot them up school.
And just finally, you know, as we mentioned at the top there, Trump, of course, relaunching his campaign, Trump 2020. The Democrats still looking for their way through the woods. Anything else we're looking ahead to in 2020 this week? And please, let's not talk about the polls.
Trump doesn't want to talk about the polls. Let's be careful here. Trump was not high in the polls to begin with last time. Trump is a canny campaigner. The Democrats have to have a campaign. The candidate doesn't matter that much, whether it's Bernie or whomever. A good candidate with a good set of policies can win this election. But don't try to play Trump's game. That would be a very big mistake. Trump knows this game better than anyone. And he's not above lying or whatever is necessary to win. Don't try to out-Trump Trump.
US Event is produced in the studios of 2SER in Sydney. Help support the work we do by going to 2SER.com/support. And then I'll be back next week. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Wooshka to stay up to date. And show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.